is over. Now it's time for ESPN 106.7's After the Game. Presented by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe on South College in Auburn. Also brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390. 334-321-1390. Now, welcome to After the Game.
Oh boy, welcome on into After the Game here on ESPN 106.7. We are broadcasting live from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn as we are recapping Auburn's thrilling 78-71 win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I'm Lance Dahl, here with you, Zach Blackerby, recapping Auburn's incredible, somewhat of a comeback win over Mississippi State. In the second half, it looked like it was getting away from the Tigers, but they managed to find a way and pull out a massive win.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it, 78-71. The Tigers were led by Alan Flanagan. He scored 22, 7 of 13 from the floor. You got to love his effort. And you really saw the Tigers pull away from this. It seemed like they were tied and going back and forth until early in the second half. And about 10 minutes left to go in this game, Auburn said, hey, we're at home and we're the better team. And, hey, Mississippi State, you get a chance to play next week. We don't. Let's go out on a win. And so they did that. The Tigers took care of business. And really, when you look at it in the second half, like, I mean, Auburn was probably more than 7 points better against Mississippi State. They had the lead for the majority of the first half. They kind of let that slip away in the final minutes going into halftime. But you love the composure of this team, or at least what they showed today. A lot of different guys stepped up in different moments. And with guys like Sharif Cooper and Justin Powell sitting on the end of the bench in street clothes, it was good to see some guys step up when they were needed most in the season finale for the Tigers.
And that's the reason I say that this was a massive win, is because you look at the big picture stance on this game. Auburn depleted as far as the amount of players that they have left to actually play. Lior Berman and Preston Cook saw time in this game, two walk-ons that would normally never see the floor for the Tigers. We saw a lot of bench production. But the reason I say that it was a massive win is because Auburn's been dealing with so many things heading into this final SEC stretch, and they managed to overcome it to get another win at home. And it really impresses me because it says a lot about this team, I feel like, heading into next season, because whenever you come back, you've got all these guys coming back. Hopefully Powell will be all right. We don't know whether or not Cooper's coming back, but if he is, that would be huge because you have all of these other talented pieces, guys like JT Thor, Alan Flanagan. If they can go ahead and they can play well whenever there's nothing to play for, imagine what they're going to be like next season.
I think you're right. Bruce Pearl talked about it on the radio broadcast going into the game, where it's like, hey, we've got a weird chance to go out on a win, and you know, not many people have that opportunity, and they wanted to make the most of it, and they did. And he also talked about the status of some of his key guys, like Sharif Cooper. He said, hey, you know, it's the best thing to not play him. And he said if they were playing for a chance to get into the tournament or playing for the chance to go on a run for a championship, they probably would have rushed Cooper back. And, you know, they would have taped it up and let him play at 60 or 70% of whatever he was able to put up. And so they didn't do that. He also followed up by saying Justin Powell, it would have been a similar situation because he's been practicing for the last week or so, which is encouraging with his concussion issues. And so it looks like he's slowly coming back. But Bruce Pearl, he's a player's coach, and a big reason why is because he understands that players are more than just basketball players and more than just students. They're people with families and people that love them and care about them. So we'll see those guys next year. Now, will Cooper be on Auburn's team next year or not? I don't know. And, you know, I think he's going to be on a roster somewhere in the NBA. I hope I'm wrong, but we'll have to wait and see. And conversations will swirl around that even more so, probably starting next week. You know, it'll be interesting to see what his timeline looks like. But moving forward, you can go into the offseason now, Lance, with this team having a win, some positive momentum. Not many teams throughout college basketball will be able to say that they went out on a win.
Right, and that's all you could ask for heading into next season. Looking at Sharif Cooper's replacement in this basketball game, Jamal Johnson, looking at his stat line, 14 points, a rebound, but 7 assists for Jamal Johnson.
Yeah, I think Jamal Johnson has gotten better and better in this short stint that we've seen him play point guard. there was a moment in the first half where he was attacking the basket, and they kind of collapsed on him, and he looked to his right and then did a no-look pass to his left. Stretch Akinbola was under the basket, and he slammed it home. And I watched that thinking, like, oh, okay, Jamal. Like, that is an elite veteran point guard move. That looked like Sharif Cooper was out there.
These are talented players that Bruce Pearl has on his roster. And whenever I look at Jamal Johnson, we talked about this last week, I think of Powell's quick development as Auburn's point guard early on in the season before he got hurt. You saw those first couple of games, obviously, as a freshman, he was not necessarily comfortable handling the ball, but as the games went on, you saw him progress, and he was one of the better players in the SEC when it came to dishing out the basketball. And I think you've seen something similar with Jamal Johnson to finish out the season here. He's been forced into this position, and he's thriving.
Yeah, and I think he's Auburn's backup point guard next year. I think if Cooper stays, great, but if he doesn't, I think Auburn makes a heck of a sales pitch for a grad transfer point guard. They'll probably get the best one in college basketball to come play for him next year, because what a team they're going to have, what a team you'll have to work with, an opportunity to play for a championship game. So I think you have Jamal as the backup point guard, and that will allow you to do more at the shooting guard in these wing positions with Alan Flanagan probably starting at the two, Justin Powell coming off the bench. What does Trey Alexander do, the talented freshman next year, the four-star? I mean, there's going to be a lot of excitement about this. And then what do you do with JT Thor and Jabari Smith and Jalen Williams? And you got, you know, your post guys like Stretch and Dylan Cardwell to rotate in and out. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. But one thing I want to mention as the season is now over for Auburn basketball, and I said this towards the end of the season for Auburn football as well, but once again, going into this season, there was a lot of chatter that the kids shouldn't play, that it was, you know, it was very dangerous for them. There was no way these kids could pull it off, that the SEC could pull it off, that the individual teams could pull it off with all this pandemic, you know, with it happening. And they were able to nail it. You know, Auburn played every game on its schedule this year. This game was kind of in question, but not for COVID reasons, for weather that happened that impacted Mississippi State's ability to travel. And they were still, you know, the relentless nature of competitive sports, D1 sports, SEC sports, you know, that mindset of them saying, okay, we're going to do this every single day until it's done. They were able to do it. So hats off to Auburn, hats off to the SEC and all the other teams in the Southeastern Conference for absolutely nailing the execution of this basketball season.
Yeah, I do find it amazing that this entire season Auburn has not once had to deal with COVID issues.
Right.
They're one of the are they one of the few teams in the SEC that has just not had to deal with COVID issues at all, period?
I mean, they didn't have any that I can recall. And it happened to line up with the teams that they played against. They weren't going through it either. And so that's exciting. You've seen some Big Ten teams struggle with you know, getting guys eligible and healthy and all that. I think they're all good now going into tournament time. But, yeah, I mean, it's been such a cool thing. Because going into it, you know, a lot of the people with, you know, the bigger platforms are saying, you can't do it. It can't be done. And somehow, Lance, they found a way again. So I just wanted to say hats off to all of them. I mean, these players have to sacrifice more this season than players ever had before, as far as, you know, you go to class, you go to practice, and you go home, or you go hang out in isolated situations with your teammates. Right. And so, you know, a big selling point and, you know, what Bruce pitches to a lot of these basketball recruits is, hey, Auburn's a fun place to be for a lot of its social aspects. And you had to strip these guys of that this year because they wanted to play. And despite them not playing for anything, they still did it because they want to win at Auburn. They want Auburn to be victorious as much as they can, even though they did not have the opportunity to play for a championship this year. So I just wanted to say thank you as somebody who gets to cover this team for a living and also just gets to, you know, enjoys watching college basketball. I think that was a huge win and a huge sacrifice to for this team to do for us. So thank you so much as we were able to sit here and watch it from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Grill on South College Street.
Couldn't agree more. After the game is brought to you by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. Lance Dahl, Zach Blackerby here with you, recapping Auburn's 78-71 win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Stats and more on the other side of this break You're listening to After the Game on ESPN 106.
About it. This is After the Game on ESPN 106.7. Call 334-321-1390 or send us a tweet at ESPN 106.7.
What it do, boys? We are recapping Auburn's 78-71 win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs here at Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn. Zach, just want to go over the stats here real quick. Looking at
sure.
the starters, JT Thor, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 of 8 from the field. What did you think about JT Thor in this basketball game?
I think he had his moments like he has in pretty much every game throughout conference play this year. He's probably the guy that's going to have the biggest jump from this year to next year. We talked about that with Alan Flanagan starting play on a hot streak this year. I think JT Thor is the next year guy. I mean, I think with a combination of you know, a lot of experience and his just natural ability, and also he's a year younger than everybody. Still, I mean, we haven't said this in a while, but he's supposed to be in high school right now, and he's still able to do all of this. So JT Thor, I think this was a positive note. You want him to get a little bit more efficient than 3 of 8 from the floor. But all in all, I mean, he quietly almost has a double-double, it seems like, every time he goes on the court.
Something else worthy of note is that Vince Carter actually ranked JT Thor's windmill dunk against Alabama last game on Tuesday. He ranked it 4th best of the season for college basketball.
I'm glad that we were able to find something positive about that game against Alabama.
It was definitely the positive moment. Cut it within 5. You know, we looked like we had some things going, but
and then we just lost control.
And then it just went.
It was gone.
Looking at somebody else in the front court, Jalen Williams, who actually hasn't scored over 13 points, I believe, since the beginning of February, February 2nd or 6th. 18 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 7 of 14 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3. Not necessarily happy with the 3-point percentage there. But 50% from the floor and 18 points is nothing to be upset about.
Oh, you take that. Absolutely. And that's who Jalen Williams is. He's not going to be extremely flashy. He's going to be a guy that shows up and does enough. And at the end of the game, you look at it and it's like, okay, cool. He did his role. And, I think Jalen Williams is going to do this a lot more consistently next year.
Something that concerns me, and I want to talk about this for a second.
Sure.
Devin Cambridge, only 3 points and 1 of 7 from the field. Looking at the perspective of like, okay, how is this starting lineup going to look heading into next season? Do you see Justin Powell overcoming Devin Cambridge at that shooting guard spot?
I do, and there are moments, and Bruce Pearl talked about Devin Cambridge earlier this week in one of his press conferences, and he said Devin Cambridge was one of the more consistent players, probably his most consistent player in conference play. Surprised me a little bit, but we've talked about this before, Lance, where I've said, you know, I've been impressed with Cambridge's ability defensively. I think he's shown a lot more prowess on the defensive side of the court, and he's also shown his ability to score in different ways. Now, all 7 of his field goal attempts were 3s today, so that's not really backing up my statement that I've said over the last few weeks, but I think there's going to be a wing player, whether it's Cambridge, whether it's Alexander next year as a true freshman, and it's just not quite his time yet. I don't think it's going to be Flanagan. I don't think it's going to be Powell, but there's just going to be too many guys in that 2 or 3 position that it's kind of interchangeable where, you know, could he possibly be a guy that's left out in the rotation next
right.
year? And I hope he's not, but you look at it and it's like, how is this guy going to get more than 20 minutes a game next year? And I don't know if he's going to be able to.
My argument is just looking at how efficient Powell was, you know, up until he had that injury, he had kind of hit a little bit of a dip in scoring production, but he was still efficient. Looking at Cambridge's stats, 9.2 points per game, 3.7 rebounds per game, only shooting 29% from 3. I would argue that if you're going to have a starting shooting guard, you would want that clip to be a little bit higher. So I would rather go with somebody like Powell or Flanagan at that shooting guard position. And like you said, I feel like Cambridge might get left out of the rotation next season.
Yeah, I mean, Cambridge can be a 3-and-D guy. His defense has gotten better. I think he's going to be able to guard more people than Justin Powell may be able to.
So, I agree with that.
So maybe you take him off the bench in a 3-and-D kind of role, but like I don't think Justin Powell starts next year either. So how much playing time can your third shooting guard get consistently night in and night out? And I don't know the answer to that.
Considering, I would argue that he's the most inconsistent out of the 3 shooting guards. So,
but yet, I mean, obviously it's more than just what you shoot.
Like
that's
course.
More to it. and Bruce really appreciates his athleticism and, you know, his coverage on the defensive side of the court. So all that stuff you got to take into account, but it's going to be tricky, and it's going to be fun to see that rotation next year.
Moving on down the starter stat line, Alan Flanagan with 22 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, no turnovers in this game, and 7 of 13 from the field.
Yeah, player of the game, and he was outstanding today. If Alan Flanagan does this every single game, I think he gets NBA considerations. I mean, it's the turnovers, and, you know, we talked about it with Justin Ferguson earlier in the week. When Jamal Johnson is able to play point guard like he did today, I think you're going to see Alan Flanagan play his actual position a lot more, and he's going to look more comfortable. And that's just part of it. And I think when you also throw in the fact that he made 3 threes from behind the arc, that gives him confidence, that gives him swagger. He also attacked the rim consistently. He had a few dunks in this game. Alan Flanagan did everything today.
Alan Flanagan, the last time that Flanagan had a game where he had no turnovers was December 15th against Texas Southern. He has had at least 1 turnover in every single game since then.
Yeah, and in that game, I guess Powell was there, so he was probably playing a lot of the 2, so that makes sense.
Right. Really impressed with what I saw from Flanagan today. I would argue that this might be his best game of the season, just from a statistical standpoint. We already talked about Jamal Johnson, just moving on down to the bench here. Javon Franklin, no points, 3 rebounds, had 2 minutes. Chris Moore, 4 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. Surprised that we got to see a little bit of Chris Moore today. You know, he's kind of been quiet as of late.
He's got to come in and get his foul real quick.
Yeah, we talked about this while we were watching the game. Is these last few games for Moore, he'll come in and he'll foul somebody, be upset about it, and then those were his 2 minutes. He's done.
I'm surprised we didn't see another Chris Moore game. Like what he did against Missouri earlier in the season, he came in and just absolutely lit it up. I thought that would kind of give him more leeway to shoot the ball when he comes in more, and we haven't seen that.
Which is weird because of our shooting issues right now with our players who are injured.
That's true. And Chris Moore's another guy where it's like next year where there's just so many bodies going to be rotating in that power forward position. It's like, what is he going to do next year? Is he going to get lost in this rotation? Because that's another thing. Jabari Smith, if he plays the 4 or rotates down at the 4 at all, it's going to impact playing time. Or if Jabari stays at the 3, you're going to have to put Jalen Williams and JT Thor at the 4 a ton. So what does that do for Chris Moore next year? I think he and Cambridge may be in a similar situation.
Right. Babatunde Akinbola,
stretch,
who had only scored 3 times out of the last 10 games, got 2 points and a rebound today. He got that dunk from Jamal Johnson there.
Yeah.
And then my favorite moment of the game, Dylan Cardwell, 5 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, and then a 3-pointer from Lochapoka as time expired on the shot clock. Turned around, just threw it up there off of 1 foot.
Were you about to say ballerina?
Ballerina
style. Is that what you were saying?
He twirled around like a ballerina and threw it up there and knocked it down. I'd love to see him shoot more.
Yeah, he is a sharp shooter, a shot caller, and a total baller. No, I love Dylan Cardwell. And I mean, and you can tell how much his team absolutely loves him, because I don't think anyone loves the game of basketball more than Dylan Cardwell, or at least loves playing at Auburn more than Dylan Cardwell, and so that's been fun. But whenever he succeeds, his teammates absolutely love it. They eat it up. And so you didn't really necessarily see it as much from the guys on the floor when he made the 3, but the bench. I loved watching the bench players' reactions more. They're all hugging each other and jumping up and down and holding each other up, and it's like, that's awesome. That's a lot of fun. And, you know, I think the feeling of today's game would be a little different if they were playing for something a little bit more. They had, you know, if they were going to go into, you know, the SEC tournament as like an 8 seed or something like that, or, you know, or they wouldn't have been that high. But, I think having that moment in today's game under the current circumstances, I think that's the highlight of it for me.
Absolutely. Just pure joy every single time I see Dylan Cardwell do something and he gets excited about it.
We are recapping
Auburn's 78-71 win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs to close out the season. We will be back with more analysis and some more stats for you on the other side of this break. You're listening to After the Game on ESPN 106.7.
Michael here with University.
Or send us a tweet at ESPN1067.
Welcome back into After the Game here at Taziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn, recapping Auburn's 78-71 win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Lance Dahl, Zach Blackerby here with you. And Zach, I'd be hard-pressed to think of another venue that I would want to recap these games.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been doing it since the start of the year in conference play, broadcasting live from Taziki's. The one on South College Street. Also got a location in Tigertown as well. And it's been awesome. It's been great. We come here every Saturday, so it's been fun kind of experimenting with different things on their menu. They've got all kinds of different things, but great place to watch basketball, great place to watch or to kind of catch up with anybody. We see all different kind of groups, whether it's, you know, a bunch of friends or family folks. We've seen a few dates here. I mean, it kind of can fit whatever you want it to. And also, if you want to join this great team, they've got open interviews on Wednesdays from 2 to 4. Be a great place to work. I'm actually considering it just so I can work long enough to learn how to make the whipped feta, because that's important to me.
I got to say, out of the three things on the menu, and we've experimented with a few different things that they've got here, but it really boils down to the whipped feta,
yeah,
the chicken roll-ups, and the Euros.
And you taught me this term, but it slaps.
It slaps.
Yeah, very, very good.
There's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
It's great. The atmosphere here is fantastic. A really, really great place to come and hang out. Would really encourage everybody to come down and watch some basketball here. We're getting into March Madness. This would be a great venue to come and hang out and watch some March Madness basketball.
Yeah, multiple TVs. You can have, you know, you're going to want to watch multiple games, and so you can position yourself where you can see all of them. Yeah, it'd make a whole lot of sense. So, yeah, thank you so much to the Zekies for hosting us this year. Auburn basketball winning 78-71 against my least favorite team in the SEC, Mississippi State. Hate them, so this is fun. But
describe your hate real quick for Mississippi State.
Starkanistan is the worst. I can't stand them. So, looking at the strength of this Mississippi State team, and Stephen Pearl talked about this, assistant coach for the Auburn basketball team, but they're the best offensive rebounding team in the conference. And so Auburn did a pretty decent job. They lost the offensive rebounding battle, but not by much, 16-13. And I mean, Auburn really got beat pretty good on the rebounding, 40-34, but still they found a way to do it. And a big part of that had to do with free throw percentage. Auburn was 13-15 on the night.
I do want to point out, I find Pearl's comment interesting, because Mississippi State averages 12 offensive rebounds a game, whereas Auburn averages 12.9 offensive rebounds a game. Credit to Bruce Pearl for recruiting some length finally here at Auburn. Auburn's seventh tallest team in the country, according to KenPom.
A big part of that, though, Lance, is going to be tempo.
Right.
You know, Mississippi State is going to have a lot fewer possessions per game than a team like Auburn.
Right. I agree with you. And just looking, we were talking a little bit about it. It's like, okay, how do you scheme to get more offensive rebounds? It's like, well, you saw it tonight. Mississippi State went inside early and often, and whenever they missed, they would be there to collect rebounds, whereas Auburn, on the other hand, shot a lot of threes, 11 of 33 from downtown tonight for Auburn. Mississippi State just 2 of 10.
That is amazing.
From the outside arc. They had one three-pointer in the entire first half.
Yeah, that is crazy. Mississippi State shooting 10 threes, Auburn shooting over three times out at 33. So you're not going to see that a whole lot. But, I mean, these are just two different basketball teams. And Mississippi State is a good basketball team. Bruce Pearl talked about it a ton. His son Steven talked about it a ton. And, I mean, coming into it, they had two top 25 wins this season. And I believe they had won three of their last four games in conference play.
Right.
It's like, all right, can Auburn, you know, handle this? And we've talked about motivation in the past with this Auburn team. And Mississippi State, this game meant a whole lot more for them as far as seeding goes in the SEC tournament next week. And them sitting at 14-13, like, they're probably not going to make the NCAA tournament, but they've got a shot. If they win today, you know, they go to 15 wins, and maybe they can get three or four wins in the tournament and kind of say, hey, look at us, selection committee. Can we be an on-the-bubble team that gets in? Probably not, but this game still meant way more to Mississippi State than Auburn. But Auburn found a way to win.
Looking at it big picture for Mississippi State, I mean, like you said, you get to 15 wins. But now you're looking at it, there's almost no chance that you get into the NCAA tournament. Now, I would argue, unless you perform really well in the SEC tourney, and you look at the NIT, it's like, well, maybe we could go to the NIT. Well, they're only having 16 teams play this year.
Sure.
So it's like, how do we handle losing to an Auburn team that lost 7 of their last 9 games? It's just trending in the really bad direction for Mississippi State right now, and Auburn managed to pick up, again, a huge win. This Mississippi State team, like you mentioned, 3 out of their last 4 games that they've won, and the one loss they had was only a 5-point loss to number 8 team in the country.
Yeah, couldn't happen to a worse school, so that's fantastic. That is fantastic. And you're a big-picture guy, Lance, and that's what I like so much about you, is you're always big-picture. You're always thinking big, thinking large, and I think that's great.
I appreciate that. And on the other side of this break, we will continue to give you the big picture, looking forward to Auburn's basketball's next year's team. We'll kind of look at, again, some more roster adjustments and just, like, big picture stuff with, again, all these recruits coming in and, like, what does the future hold? National championship, maybe. We don't know. We'll get you that on the other side of this break. You're listening to After the Game here on ESPN 106.7, broadcasting live from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn. After the Game is brought to you by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn,
Holla,
the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. We will be back in a moment. You're listening to After the Game.
Just getting started. This is After the Game on ESPN 106.7. Call us at 334-321-1390. On Twitter, send us a message at ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back in to After the Game here on ESPN 106.7, broadcasting live from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn. We are recapping Auburn's 78-71 win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Lance Dahl, Zach Blackerby here with you. And, Zach, I just kind of want to look big picture here for a moment.
You're such a big picture guy.
I'm a big picture boy. I'm all about it. So looking forward to this next year's squad. A lot of talk about national championship aspirations with some of these recruits coming in. How do you see it shaking out roster-wise next season?
So the big question is, who is Auburn's starting point guard next year?
Right.
And I don't think we know who that person is yet,
right,
because I don't think that person has formally entered the transfer portal yet. So I think there's going to be a ton of them that do, and I think Bruce Pearl is going to get the first crack at all of them because of the sales pitch he's going to be able to have when it's like, hey, come play for a championship here. And also, I think he's done enough where you can look at other transfer guards and say, hey, they've had a lot of success here. And so I think that's something, you know, Javon McCormick is kind of the big one for me.
Right.
Where, I mean, he was such a big part of Auburn in that Final Four run. So I think you start there. I think Jamal is your backup currently because you've got so many guys at the two. It just allows you to play more people. And those guys at the two, we already talked about this. You know, what happens with a guy like Devin Cambridge, behind I mean, there's just so many dudes that are going to be in the rotation, that two and three, and there's going to be a lot of those guys that can play that three or four position. And so it's going to be really interesting to see who kind of cuts through all that. But there's a few guys that you can't play everyone. You're just not going to be able to play everyone. 334-321-1390 is how you can be a part of the show. Ed is next up on today's show. Ed, how are you? What did you think of today's game?
I was very impressed. I'm, you know, proud of the team, proud of, you know, what Bruce Pearl was able to do. You know, it was a weird year. We were very young. I've got no qualms about it. I just rode through tumors. I'm surprised that I hope they'll get down there and kind of roll it a little bit for the guys or something. But I'm very happy with Jafari coming in next year.
Right.
And I just think, you know, we've got a great situation there. I also think the same thing about, somebody asked me today about the baseball team, you know, and I was like, hey, we're cool in baseball, you know. But anyway, I just wanted to say props out to the whole team. I really am excited about, you know, what they're doing. And War Eagle guys, y'all have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Ed, and thank you for being active on the show all season. It's meant a ton. And Lance, he said he was driving through Tumors. You know, it's pretty close to Tumors Corner.
Tzatziki's. Come by, get some chicken roll-ups.
Absolutely. Some whipped feta, some Euros. They got a lot of great salads as well. But, yeah, I mean, Lance, going back to just looking at the roster, though, I mean, if you had to predict right now, what's the starting five next year?
So this is why I wanted to talk about it, because my end point would be is Auburn doesn't have a concern next year, barring they get a point guard or Sharif Cooper stays. They don't have a concern. If anything, they've got good problems. And this is what I wanted to talk about, is every position you look at, it's not a, okay, who's going to fill that? It's, okay, we've got too many guys that could fill that position. Who are we going to play the most?
If Cooper doesn't leave,
right,
someone else has to, like, be taken off a scholarship.
Right.
And you can't add any of the older guys. You can't add a veteran, you know, transfer player.
Right.
And so I just don't know what that looks like. Like, I can't see Chris Moore transferring.
No.
Who's on this team that you could see transferring because of playing time?
Javon
Franklin?
You could see Javon Franklin maybe transferring. I genuinely believe you could see Cambridge transfer.
I think that would be the case if he would have never gotten the starting job back.
I guess that's a good
but,
point.
But, I mean, he started today. You know, ever since Cooper's been out and they've moved Jamal over again, Cambridge has been the starter. And he was even the starter before that because Jamal lost the job. So I don't know if you can do that.
That makes sense. So just looking at it, so point guard, you either have Cooper or grad transfer.
Right.
At shooting guard, do you put Flanagan at shooting guard, or do you put him back at his natural spot at the three?
I think you put him at the two, and I think you can keep him at the two, and you never have to worry about him taking it up the court again, because you just got so much at shooting guard, you know. But still, though, because you got so much at small forward as well, whether you put JT Thor there or you put Jabari there, or, you know, if you want to go big and play Jalen Williams there. So, like, I would rather Flanagan be at the two than at the three.
Because we have guys that are better suited for the three and the four position, right?
I think so. And you got to assume Flanagan's going to develop a little bit more of an outside shot. You don't have to worry about him handling the ball a whole lot. Because I think he's one of the better guys that are off ball in this offense. Because a lot of the guys don't like to move when they don't have the basketball. And so I think he does one of the better jobs of that, he and Jalen. So you want him on the floor, and he's become one of the better defenders on this team. So, yeah, I think he is the two there. And then at the three right now, I would say Jabari. At the four, I would say JT Thor. And then at the five, I think you can get creative, put Jalen there. And then when you need to go bigger, you can rotate in Dylan Cardwell or you know, stretch Akinbola.
So you believe that Smith is versatile enough to play the three? You don't believe he's gonna play a more front court position? He's not going to play a four or a five?
I don't think he'll play the five.
I don't think so either.
But he could definitely play the four, and then that means you put JT Thor at the three, which is really exciting to think about.
You believe that Thor will start over Jalen Williams in this situation?
No, I think Jalen will start at the five.
So it's five. So we go Cooper, Flanagan, Smith, Williams, and Thor, right?
Yeah, that's Thor, my
Williams.
Five. Yeah,
I agree with that. I can see that. And again, Auburn's got too many players in the, especially in the 3, 4, and 5 position. They've got too many players, and it's just you have to decide, okay, which guy do I feel like gives me the best chance to win?
2 through 5, they have so many players
out the gate, right? It's so, looking forward to this next season, Auburn's got some good things that they have to sort out. Very excited, looking forward to this next season.
There's a lot to be excited about, but still, it's, as a team, you've got to get better every week.
For
and
sure.
Auburn did not get better every week this season. And that's something that if you're Bruce Pearl and this coaching staff, you've got to look at and say, why? Was it solely because, hey, you had nothing to play for and the guys, you know, were just emotionally, you know, drained from all this? And I think that's an acceptable answer, but you still have to ask the question to get to the bottom of it. So we'll see how they handle this. You know, and also it's like, well, the NCAA, will they see that this self-imposed ban, you know, was that enough? Was the self-imposed ban enough for the NCAA? And it is ridiculous, but it's still a question that has to be asked.
Right. I agree with you. It's very frustrating now that you bring that up. To the NCAA shadow is still hovering over this Auburn's basketball program's future. And no, it's a good point to bring up. It's definitely a legitimate thing. It's just very frustrating. We're recapping Auburn's 78-71 win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs right here on ESPN 106.7. Back in a moment.
My joint.
On ESPN 106.7. Call 334-321-1390 or send us a tweet at ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back to After the Game here on ESPN 106.7, broadcasting live from Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in downtown Auburn. Recapping Auburn's 78-71 win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs, Bruce Pearl's 600th career win. Lance Dahl, Zach Blackerby here with you. And Zach, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I just want to say how thankful I am to Tzatziki's for letting us come and do this and how great of an experience this has been this season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is our fourth year, I believe, of doing After the Game basketball. This is our first year doing it at Tzatziki's here on South College Street, and it's been fun. It's been really, really fun. Totally different setting than what we've done in the past. So obviously there were some adjustments that had to be made, but it totally paid off. It was totally worth it. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't really think of this being a place to come watch a game, and I've been proven wrong. And so it's something that I've looked forward to every week this season, and it's been a lot of fun, and I hope we can work it out where we get to do this again.
Absolutely, absolutely. A great, comfortable, relaxing atmosphere. Come get some great food, watch some basketball. Again, March Madness coming up. Would really encourage you guys to come down and just watch some hoops. I really want to thank everybody that's listened to us so far this season, guys like Ed who have stayed active with the show. Really appreciate you guys. And I want to thank Drew Forehand, who is the putback dunk of 2021.
Best in the business.
Thank you so much for running the board there, Drew, back at the studio. Really appreciate what you do for us. And just want to thank you guys again for listening to another incredible season of After the Game. We will see you guys next year. This has been After the Game on ESPN 106.7.